Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It is a minute after 7. A very good evening to you. You are listening to Kaya 959 and you are listening to Talk with myself, Sotomayor. And of course, a very big thank you to Guguletu Mfupi, who is just leaving the studio as usual, having very important conversations, especially talking about money. I heard a lot of callers this evening talking about how their businesses have been impacted, especially during COVID times and everything else that's happened. So if you missed out on that conversation and all the other interactions, simply go to Kaya 959 and do catch a podcast of that show, as well as all the other shows that we have on Kaya 959.
Kaya
959.
On the street, on the air.
Now then, let's get into this evening. What are we talking about this evening? It is Monday, and usually Mondays here is a doctor's appointment, and that's when we talk about all sorts of health-related issues, and usually we pick a topic. Last week, we were talking about reproduction, and we were talking about female reproduction, and we were talking about all the issues that might hamper reproduction, or anything that's got to do with basically fertility and health when it comes to women. So this week, we're going to flip the coin and do a similar show, but this time we are looking at men. We've had both shows before, so it's one of those where we revisit the shows when we had a lot of callers and we just didn't get a chance to fit anyone in. So I know there's a lot of people that have got a lot of questions when it comes to male reproduction and just when it comes to health, sexual health when it comes to men. And this evening you are more than welcome to give us a call if you'd like to ask any questions, whether it's got to do with reproduction, whether it's got to do with just male sexual health, or anything that might be happening in the nether region. We are going to be joined by Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist, and he joins us this evening. He's just going to be walking us through the conversation, and of course he's going to be taking your calls as well, and any other questions that you might want to ask. And of course with that, he joins us now. A very good evening to you, doctor, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stu. Good evening to you and the listeners.
Good evening. First, let's talk about, you know, just in case somebody's catching this conversation for the first time, because we've had a similar conversation before, let's talk about what it is that a urologist does.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Because most people tend to think that urologists only see men.
Yes, like, that's what I think.
Men, right? Yes. But we actually see everyone. We see men, we see women, and we see kids. So as long as you have kidneys, ureters, the bladder, and male genitalia, we'll see you. So it's a specialty in medicine that deals with the genito-urinary system. So everybody has those systems, so we see everybody.
Okay, but would you say that a big percentage of your patients is men?
The majority of our patients is men.
Okay. And so let's talk about some of the most common things that you see, especially, you know, I know, and I'm generalizing here, but, you know, men tend to not go to the doctor unless, like, there's a problem. And I know I'm being very, you know, I'm really, really generalizing here. But what are some of the most common things that you see when you have men come to your office and say that, doctor, I have a problem?
Yes, yes. Actually, you're right, because women in South Africa tend to outlive us by at least 6 years. And that's precisely because men don't want to consult until it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why I'm so happy that we keep having these conversations about men's health. Generally, majority of patients that we see come into our rooms complaining of prostate disease or symptoms, erectile dysfunction, and then you have other patients with cancer issues, mm-hmm. bladder cancer, kidney cancers, penile cancers, and we also see a lot of kids with urinary problems like neurogenic bladder, and also oncology side of pediatric urology, which is a huge thing also in urology. So those are the main ones. But majority of our patients are men suffering from erectile dysfunction, prostate mm-hmm. diseases, and renal-related diseases.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about reproduction and men, what are some of those common things? You know, so when a man comes to you and says that they are suffering with reproduction, is it the same as with women? You know, for us, it could be any number of issues. You could have PCOS, you could have this, you could have, there's so many different things when it comes to women and reproduction. Is it the same for men?
Well, I would say it's more or less the same. In the old days, we used to believe that a man can be infertile. If a couple was infertile, it was the woman that was the problem, and she needed to be sorted out or get another woman, you know. And we now know that depending on the stats you're looking at, it's probably 30% men, 30% women, and the remaining 40% both, or 40-40-20. So it's more or less the same. But with men, it's the majority of the time, we don't know why the man is infertile.
So
that's the problem.
Are you saying the majority of the time you can't actually find a reason for it?
Yes, the majority of the time you actually can't find a reason for it. But for the remaining ones, you can find the reason, sort out the problem, and then they become infertile. And you have other common causes like varicocele, where you have dilated veins in the scrotum that basically hinder the testes from temperature regulation, making the man infertile. It's one of the commonest reversible causes of male infertility. So if you've got varicocele and your urologist sorts it out, chances are you're going to become fertile after that.
Okay, and why is it that it's difficult to find out the reason for infertility in the majority of cases? Why would that be?
Because the etiology, the cause of male infertility, the majority of it, we still don't understand why most men go into fertility. You have a lot of factors like environmental factors, the way we interact with the environment, the foods that we eat, genetics also plays a role. So most of the time, you do all the tests, you can see that the man is infertile. You do all the tests, all the screening, but you can't find what the cause is.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 8 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya 959, and it is a Monday evening, which means we've got a doctor's appointment. And today we're talking about men, and we're talking about male sexual health, but not just sexual health as well. Basically talking about anything that's got to do with men, and a case where you might be, you know, in need of seeing a urologist. And, you know, and just like Dr. Radzuma has just said, you know, that a lot of times they see kids as well, you know, that have all sorts of issues. So if you would like to ask any questions around male fertility, about sexuality, about kids as well, if maybe you've got a son who might have some sort of issues when it comes to their penis or anything that might be happening there, we are taking your calls this evening. The number to dial is 086-000-959. That is 086-000-959. Remember, you can SMS us 36959. You can tweet us at Kaya On Air, and you can tweet me personally as well. My Twitter handle is at Sototu. And remember, as we say each and every single evening, you don't necessarily have to tell us who you are. So you're more than welcome to remain anonymous if that's what you'd like to do. So either give us a call and just say that you prefer to remain anonymous, and we'll still put your call through. And joining us this evening, like I said, is Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist. And he's going to be taking all your questions and giving the best answers that he can, considering that, of course, that we are on the radio and, you know, and it's not a real consultation, but giving the best answers that he can under the circumstance. Now, doctor, let's talk about kids. And, you know, you did say earlier on that, you know, you do see a lot of kids when it comes to urologists. And I would imagine that it's a lot of boys as well. What are some of the problems? maybe it's girls.
I would say that one of the most common conditions we see in kids is undescended testes. I always advise parents to examine their kids. When you're birthing your child, just check that both balls are in the sac, because you can have a condition called undescended testes where you examine the sac and there's only one testis in the sac. And sometimes there's nothing in the sac. So the condition is called undescended testes. And the problem with undescended testes is if you don't fix the problem, if you don't take the testes down with an operation, the kids can become infertile later
on.
If both testes are entering the sac. If it's just one testis that is in the sac, the fertility rate basically doesn't change, because only 10% of them will be infertile, which is more or less the same as the general population. 10% of men are infertile. So 1 out of 10 men probably struggles with one form of infertility. So that's the main one I would parents to look out for. Don't just trust that the doctor sorted everything out, the nurses sorted everything out when you're giving birth. When you're bathing your kids, just check that the scrotum has both testes, okay? Then the other problem is if there's one in the groin or in the abdomen and it's not taken down, it can develop cancer later on.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
So how would a parent, I mean, say, you know, does a parent, can a, obviously, you know, if you are a dad, it's easy for you to see and figure out, you know, I mean, this is, it doesn't look the way that it's supposed to. But as a, so say as a mom, can you see the difference that, you know, that these testicles are not descended? Is it possible to see that? Is it clear?
You're actually raising a very good point, Sotheke, because I had a patient during the week. I examined this lady's son, and he was 14. And I said, "Mommy, are you aware that your son has only one ball in the sac?"
Mm.
And she said, "How many are they supposed to be?" You see? So you must never assume.
Exactly.
You know, you're raising a very fair point that, you know, that for the dad, it would be much
It makes sense, yeah. Like, you know what it's supposed to look like, yeah.
What's happening? Exactly. But the mom was like, "How many are they supposed to be?" You know, she was like, "I was not aware that he only has one, and it's 14.
You know,
so you can imagine. So it's pretty much, sometimes, majority of the time, it's easy when you're birthing the child to just touch and feel, you know. And then if you're in doubt, just take your child to the GP to do a formal examination, okay? But most of the time, if there's just one or both of them are missing, you'll be able to feel that, no, man, there's nothing in here. This thing's empty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then just take the child to a nurse or a GP. Then they will examine the child. Sometimes they're there and you can't feel them because of the increased fat around. And then, but if a doctor or a nurse sees the child and examines them and can't find it, then they'll send you to a urologist.
Mm. And how easy is that to fix? I mean, you did say earlier on that if you've got both of them, you know, that have not descended, that it could lead to infertility for the child. And, you know, it's something that has to get fixed. But how easy is it to get fixed? Is this like an easy operation? Is this a quick operation?
It's a pretty straightforward operation. It's a quick operation. Majority of the time, I do them as a day procedure. The patient comes in, we do the procedure. On the same day, they go home. They don't even have to sleep over in the hospital. It takes about 40 to 50 minutes. And yes, the operation has to be done, unfortunately, within 18 months if both of them are not in the sac.
Okay.
To preserve the fertility of the testes. We found that if the operation is done after 18 months, the fertility rate has sort of gone down already.
So within the first 18 months of the child being born?
Exactly. If both testes have not descended.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 13 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya 959. The voice you're hearing there is Dr. Benny Radzuma. He is a urologist. And this evening, we're talking about male fertility. We're also talking about just anything that's got to do with men and fertility and sexuality. Not necessarily sexuality, but everything that's got to do with fertility. Also talking about kids as well, especially if you've got boys and, you know, you feel like something might not be right in terms of their reproductive organs. That's the conversation that we are having this evening. You are more than welcome to give us a call. The number to dial is 086-000-0959. That is 086-000-0959. Remember, you can also drop us an SMS, 36959. That is at a cost of 1.50. We are on Twitter at Sotho2 is my Twitter handle. If you'd like to DM me, perhaps you don't want to call, you want to DM me, that's fine. Or you can tweet us as well at Kaya on Air. And as usual, you're more than welcome to remain anonymous. If you'd like to ask any questions, but you don't want anyone knowing your business, you are more than welcome to remain anonymous. Now, doctor, another issue that, you know, every now and then, when you are on social media and you get like some parents talking about the opening of the penis for children that might not be on the tip in the front, it might be on the side, it might just be elsewhere. How often do you see that, and what is that condition called?
It's like you're reading my mind, so to, that condition is called a hypospadias.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hypospadias. So a normal penis, not circumcised, has a hood, right?
Right.
That covers the glands of the penis. The glands is what we call the head of the penis.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at an uncircumcised normal penis, you can see the head of the penis, right?
Okay.
The foreskin covers the whole thing. Now, there are three components to this condition called hypospadias. One is that the foreskin is not complete. So it's as if the penis is wearing a cape.
So as opposed to a coat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's like a cape, just covers the top of the head. And underneath the head is exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the first component. It's wearing a cape. It's like a hood. Yes. Then the second one is the abnormal opening of the urethra. So it's supposed to open at the tip, Now, with a hypospadias, it opens anywhere along the line of the pipe, the urethra. So it can go literally all the way into the perineum or into the penoscrotum area.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is an abnormal curvature. Now, there's no straight penis. All penises are curved. You know, that's normal. It's a normal curve. But now this one can have what we call a chordae. So a chordae is when the curvature is abnormal, especially when it gets erect. You know, it's so abnormal that you look at it, you're like, this couldn't penetrate anything.
Like it's facing a completely opposite, just a weird direction.
Exactly. So those are the three components of hypospadias.
Okay.
And it's very common. We see a lot of them.
And that can also be, is that also one of those conditions that it's better you work on it while they're still small?
Yes, definitely. It's better for you to do the repair when the child's still small. There's better healing and good outcomes.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 17 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya 959. We are having a chat and we're talking about all things that has to do with male health, male reproduction health. And of course, this evening we are joined by Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist, taking your calls on 086-000-959. We've got somebody joining us now. Good evening and thank you so much for joining us. Who are we speaking to, or are you anonymous?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, and you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to say, like, what problem you have when I do the retinal charity balloon? I'm going to go to the classic. I'm going to go to the
Do you love Bab?
Like, sometimes I'm going to go to the
Okay, and usually it's a halahu, it's a halang, like, nje fela, or maybe how ya go toilet, ulunta meti.
Yeah, sometimes, because maybe not the problem, the pulse, and I'm going to sort out your gas with your one.
Okay, let's find out. Doctor, he says, you know, he's got a problem with passing blood when he makes a wee.
How old is he?
Hold on a second. Papa, how old?
35.
Okay, Abut. Okay. 35.
No, he's still young.
Yeah.
Look, there are so many causes for peeing blood. That's what we call hematuria, okay? So you need to do a focused history to find out when did the blood start, where in the stream is it? Is it initial, is it mixed, or is it terminal hematuria? There are so many things that can cause hematuria, all the way from the kidneys to the bladder, the prostate, and the urethra. So he needs to go see a general practitioner who will do a basic examination, history taking, do a sauna, and then just to rule out any malignant causes, and then after that they would refer him to a urologist. It could be something as easily treatable as bilharzia. You know, schistosomiasis in Africa is one of the commonest causes of hematuria. Usually after, you know, summer seasons, people have been swimming in the dams, in the
rivers,
you know, they go down to Devon to swim, they come back and they start having hematuria. So it could be so many causes from cancer. I don't want to scare him, but majority of urological cancers from the prostate to the kidney, that's how they present. So you have to rule out the more serious stuff first before you can come back to the things like schistosomiasis. So it's gross hematuria because he can see the hematuria. That is more serious. It's unlike the hematuria where you go to the clinic, you go to the doctor, and they do a urine test.
Yeah.
And they tell you that your urine has blood in it, but you can't see the blood with your actual eyes. So that's gross hematuria. So it's more serious.
If you can't see the blood.
If you can't see it, it's less serious.
Oh, it's less serious. Okay, if you can see it.
It's more serious, yes.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us 20 minutes after 7, you're listening to Kaya 959. We're still taking your calls. And, of course, joining us on the line is Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist, taking your call. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us. Are you also anonymous or?
Anonymous.
Hi. Okay, anonymous. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I have basically pimples. I think I have two pimples on my penis. But they have been there since I was born, since I've been me, they are there. So, and they've not bothered me or anything. But I'm just asking if it's a problem or should I worry or not.
Okay. Doctor, it's got pimples that have always been there.
What's the color of the pimples?
They are not white. They are just the color of the penis.
Yeah. No, look, if it's just two pimples, they're not painful, asymptomatic, I wouldn't do anything about it. There's something called palipinal papules, PPP. Majority of men have them. They come in to inquire, doc, I've always had these things. They're not painful. What should I do? We don't do anything with palipinal papules. Majority of men have them. They look like pimples. They're usually around the corona area or on the head of the penis.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
But otherwise, they're nothing to worry about.
There's nothing to worry about. They're not cancerous. They're not painful. Generally, don't do anything about them. Yeah.
Okay, great stuff. Anonymous, you got that, Annie?
Yeah, I got that. And another question.
What happens? What's the problem if somebody comes too quickly?
Oh, it just means he's too happy.
You must slow down.
It means the stuff is that good. So what happens is in the brain, you've got these chemicals, you know, your serotonin and stuff.
Mm.
So when it's too exciting, you get a surge of the hormone production, and that's when you come quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're too excited. So it's called premature ejaculation.
Okay.
So that's why the majority of treatment, well, the treatment would then involve other things like psychotherapy and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But medical therapy basically includes a medication that inhibits that surge of the hormones.
Okay.
Because when the hormones are released, you get too excited and you just come.
Okay. So, sorry, doctor.
Down.
Yes, yes. All right. Thank you very much, doctor. You got that, Anonymous, and I thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Still taking your calls on 086-000-959. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good, thank you. Mm.
I would like to remain anonymous.
It's fine.
Okay, I've got an eight-year-old son. I feel like his manhood is not growing normally.
What do you mean? Like it's too small?
Yeah.
Okay, so would you say it's the same size as when he was, one, two?
Yes.
Okay. All right, doctor.
I actually had a child today this morning. The mother brought him in.
Yes.
It's a common thing. Mothers bring their kids in. They're like, doc, I think my son's pee-pee is too small. And I'm like, why do you think it's small? Says, well, because I've checked my last born, and the last born's bigger than this one, and he's the first born. And I've checked his cousins, and they're
all bigger.
So they're always worried about a penile length and everything. And majority of the time, the penile length is normal. They will never be the same. You know, you can't compare the penises because bodies are different.
Mm-hmm.
Kids grow differently. One will have a bigger one. The other one will just have a normal one, you know. But there's a condition called a micropenis.
Mm-hmm.
A micropenis is a penis that is clinically smaller than it should be.
Okay.
So you have to do a proper measurement. You measure the penis and you correlate with the age of the patient to see whether it's below the length it's supposed to be or not. But majority of the mothers worry about the penile length. And I always make a funny joke like, okay, but how's the father's penile length? You know, don't expect any miracles. Yeah, you know, but the majority of the time, the penile length is normal. And the other thing, because now in South Africa, we have a huge problem with obesity. So the majority of the kids actually have an increased fat pad around the penis. So the penis is sort of buried inside within the pad, within the fat. So when you're just looking at it, it looks small. But when you touch and you expose it, it then comes out.
Uh-huh, then it's a lot bigger.
Exactly. So I always tell the kids, you know, just exercise, eat right and everything, and then they lose weight and the penile length sort of comes out and shows its true colors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something called a micropenis. So if the mother is really worried about the penile length, then they must just go to a urologist, do proper workup measurements and everything to determine whether it's a true penile micropenis or not something to worry about.
Anonymous, you got that?
Yes, I've got that, but I'll be happy if you give us the doctor's details.
Yes, I'm going to share the doctor's details. I see a couple of people on Twitter as well asking for his doctor's rooms because they'd like to get in touch. But yes, I definitely will.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much. Doctor, you don't mind, Danny. I think a couple of people want to come through for consultations.
That's good.
Okay, great stuff. So we're going to give out those details at the end of the show. If you're just joining us, 27 minutes after 7. And of course, we are talking to Dr. Benny Radzuma. We've got another caller on the line. We're taking your calls on 086-000-959. Caller, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
Fine, thank you. You're speaking to Namaswan, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Doc, I would like to find out, I've got a son that is 10 years old, and his penis has got two holes. When he wee, the wee comes out in those two holes. So I don't know if we should take him to the doctor for op, or will that be a problem when he grows up or what?
How old is he?
He's 10 years now.
10 years old. Okay. Doctor, I think we discussed something similar earlier.
Yes. No, that child definitely needs to be seen by a urologist. Depending on whether the mother is on a medical scheme or paying cash, most of the time, if you're in a medical scheme, they would advise you to go to the general practitioner first. And then the general practitioner would then refer you to a specialist. So that's why I always say people must go to the GP, and then once the GP has made an assessment, then they'll refer you to the urologist with the necessary documentation. So, but if it's got two parts, two openings in the penis, it definitely needs to be seen by a urologist.
What does that mean? So, doctor, if he's got two openings and he can make a wee from both, what does that mean that he's got two pipes, or is it one pipe but with two? What does it normally mean?
I can't say for sure without having seen it, but one, it could be a urethral duplication, or it could be a hypospadias. So with a urethral duplication, it's basically an inborn error. You know, something went wrong when the child was inside embryogenesis. So they are born with two pipes from the bladder. So when they pee, one can be blocked or both of them could be open. So when they pee from the two holes.
Sure. Okay. And is it something that can be fixed easily, or?
That is not easy to fix, but it can be fixed.
But it can be fixed.
Yes.
Okay. I hope you got that, Namaswazi, and I hope you get the help that you need. If you are just joining us, it is 29 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya 959, and you're listening to Talk With Myself, Sotumea. We are together, as usual, until 8 o'clock. We're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we carry on with your calls. You can give us a call on 086-000-959.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It is now 7:30. You are listening to Kaya 959, and you are listening to Talk With Myself, Sotumea. Joining us on the line is Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist, taking your calls on 086-000-959 if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask about male reproduction system. We've got another caller on the line. Good evening, caller, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm very good. I want to remain anonymous.
It's fine.
I want to find out, is it normal for my 16-year-old boy to not have regular erections? And by that I mean, you know, we grew up knowing that young boys, you know, when they wake up in the morning, they've got those erections. And he told me that, you know, he doesn't have them on a regular basis. The last time that he had one was sometime last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just wanted to find out, is it normal? You know?
Yeah, okay, what does it mean? Doctor?
He's 15 going on 16. Has he reached puberty?
Anonymous, has he reached puberty?
Yeah, he has,
okay.
Yes, yeah. So, look, we always say men must have a morning stiffness at least almost every day, right? And generally, on average, men get more than 5 erections a day. Throughout the day, you know, when you're sleeping, when you're awake, you're getting all these erections. So if he hasn't had an erection for over, she said, almost a year.
She said since last year, yeah.
Since last year, that is not normal. That is not normal. So there's a lot of causes for, I can't call this erectile dysfunction because he's not trying to have sexual intercourse. She's just inquiring why he's getting less erections compared to other kids.
Mm.
You know? So that one is a problem if he hasn't got an erection for more than a year. So he needs to have a focused history taking and an examination and a thorough workup by a urologist where we take blood, we do scans and all these things. So when you take scans, I'm not talking about serious things, just a sauna, just a basic sauna. Okay, and we have to do a hormonal workup, check his testosterone and his other hormones related to sexual function and see whether there's a problem or not, especially because she says he's reached puberty.
Yeah.
So his voice has already changed, he's growing pubic hair, the penis must be gaining length and stuff like that. So we need to check his hormonal workup and see whether everything is fine or not. So he definitely needs to be checked out.
Okay. All right. Anonymous?
Because another issue that we had was that he went for circumcision quite a while back. I think he was around 7, 8.
Mm.
And immediately after that, he complained about pain when urinating, you know. But I think that lasted for like a few weeks or so. And then after that, that was...
And the pain went away.
But recently when I asked him about the whole erection thing, he told me that it's just a slight, slight pain. Nothing major, according to him. He says it's nothing major, you know, just something. He's gotten used to it, but it's nothing, you know, hectic.
Okay. Doctor?
Okay. If the circumcision was done about 8 years ago, I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
If it was done recently, I would be suspicious. But if it was done 8 years ago, I wouldn't worry about it now. You know, he must just get it checked out. But I can't see any reason why it should be related to the circumcision.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Anonymous.
Thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you, and good luck with that. Doctor, a couple of questions as well. Somebody asking about penile enlargement and whether or not it works, and are there any disadvantages?
Yeah. You know, you walk around in South Africa, everywhere you see these boards, enlargement, this and that, bring back a lost lover. You know, there's no medication that has been proven to cause penile enlargement. So there are two things that can increase your penis in terms of length. Right?
Mm.
One, it's surgery. So what we do when we take you in for penile enlargement is what we call we chop off the suspensory ligaments. So there are these ligaments that are holding the penis back, right? So that when it gets erect, it looks up. So we cut them. And that will increase your penile length by like a centimeter to 2 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay. One of the commonest causes of lawsuits in urology is that operation that caused, because majority of patients, when they complain about their penile length, there's usually a psychological stressor. So they're never satisfied. Even after doing the procedure, they still feel like, no, you made it worse, this, this, and that. So they sue their urologist. But that's the length you're going to get, about a centimeter to 2 centimeters.
It's not much.
Yes. And the other thing that depresses them is because we've cut the ligament, when you get an erection, your penis doesn't look up anymore, you know?
Where does it look?
So it looks down.
Oh.
So it would be erect, but it's looking down because we've chopped off the ligament. And a lot of people undermine that, the fact that when you get an erection, it just looks up. So now when you get an erection and you want to engage in sexual intercourse, you literally have to hold it to direct it every direction that you want it to go to. You see, that's a common stressor after the operation. But what we know for sure works and majority of patients are happy with is what we call penile traction therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called PTT, penile traction therapy. So people can Google it and just see what it is. So it's basically a device, and this device, you basically put it on your penis. You plug it on your penis and you connect it. It has a base and a body, and then it stretches your penis. So you have to wear it for 8 hours. So most people use it when they're sleeping. So before you go to sleep, you put it on, you go to sleep for 8 hours a day.
Mm.
That does cause penile length. However, that's the only benefit you're going to get.
It's not going to be wider. It's not going to be thicker.
Yes, it won't increase the depth of the penis. It will just be longer.
Okay.
Penile traction therapy definitely works. That I would advise for someone that feels that their penis is small, they're losing their confidence, and it's affecting them psychologically when they have to engage in sexual intercourse. Yes.
Okay. Well, still taking your calls on 086-000-959 and still having a chat to Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist. We're going to take another call before we take a break. We've got a caller. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm good. I would like to talk to the doctor about woman-related stuff, like periods.
I don't know if you can help. Well, let's just find out. Doctor, can you talk about periods?
No.
Yeah.
They have to talk to a gynae about that. I don't want to mislead people.
Yeah, I thought as much. You know, yeah, so we're talking about, you know, male reproduction today, so not so much ladies.
Okay, when will we talk about that, Sutu?
Well, we talked about it last week, Monday, that's what we were talking about. But, you know, these are, when anonymous, these are the sort of topics where we get so many callers that we always revisit them over and over and over again. So I'm going to put you back to our producer, Ernie. Maybe he can take your details, and next time we revisit this conversation, Owen, we can give you a call.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Anonymous. Put you back to our producers there. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about male reproduction. We're taking all your calls, any questions that you'd like to ask, whether you want to talk about, you know, I know I see we had two questions talking about penis enlargement, which seems, you know, it's a big thing, you know, especially when it comes to your confidence, if it's like taking a toll on your confidence. So you can give us a call about that. You can give us a call about anything that's got to do with your male reproduction organs. The number to dial this evening is 086-000-959. That is 086-000-959. You can drop us an SMS 36959. Remember, we are on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @KayaOnAir, or you can tweet me personally. My Twitter handle is @Sotutu if you'd like to ask any questions that have to do with male reproduction.
Kaya Talk, Monday to Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m.
It is just after 20 minutes to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya 959. Joining us on the line, we've got Dr. Benny Radzoma, who is a urologist, and we're taking your calls about male reproduction. Any questions at all that you'd like to ask? Caller, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm okay. I just want to ask a quick question to that doctor. What's his stances when it comes to those pills that you get from Chinatown? Are they good for one's health? And is it something that someone can sustain for a longer period, or is just try and stay away from them?
So do they work like you know, I suppose like Viagra? Is that what they're supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's find out from the doctor. Doctor, those pills from Chinatown, they don't sound right to me. Anonymous is gone, but I'm like, yo, Chinatown.
So, I'll tell you what. The reason they sell is because they work.
Oh, they work.
The reason people, yeah, of course they work. So they keep going back because they work. You get them in Chinatown, you get them at the robots, you know, the different signs that the guys at the robot use, you know. You think they're just selling water or some containers, it looks like juice and stuff, but, you know, the different signs, so the men know what those guys are selling. So they work. So, but the problem with that is they're not regulated by anybody. So you don't know how much you're supposed to take. You don't know what is contained in there. You don't know what they mixed. That's the problem. It's not that they don't work. They do work. You don't know the side effects, you know, whether they could have a problem on your kidneys. You don't know, you know. So I can't say they don't work. I know they work, you know. The other problem is I generally see a lot of patients coming from Limpopo, Northwest, who took those medication, and they get what we call priapism.
What is that?
Priapism is when you take medication to enhance your erections. You know, you want a stronger, firmer erection. Some just, you know, have normal erections, but they want to go for longer. You know how men are. You know, go for an hour, 40 minutes. I don't know, want your sex for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah, you know, because on average, normal sexual intercourse, I'm not talking about foreplay and all these things, just penetration. It's about 10 to 13 minutes, and that's it. That's on average. That's what a normal man will give you, you know, but some want to go for way longer. So they take all these boosters, and then they predispose themselves to getting priapism. So priapism is when you get a prolonged, unwanted erection. So you take this thing, you get an erection, you have sexual intercourse, and you reach orgasm, and you finish, but the erection doesn't go away.
It just stays.
After an hour, it just stays. 2 hours, it just stays. We then say, after 4 hours, you must seek immediate medical attention. Because if you don't, the longer you stay, because remember, an erection is basically just blood flowing into the penis. That's it, okay? It's just blood flowing into the penis. When you're done, the blood flows out. That's why men stop thinking when they get an erection, you know, because the majority of the blood flows to the penis and stops flowing to the brain. So the blood then gets stuck in the penis. Mm. And then when it gets stuck in the penis, it clots. So when it clots, it can't flow out. So if that happens for more than 24 hours, you have to rush to the doctor because we have to drain the blood. We have to drain the clots. Okay, so we put in gel coats into the penis and we drain all that clot out. Because if we don't drain the clot out, the penis is a sponge inside. And the blood clots, it basically clogs up everything. So fresh blood can't flow in anymore because it clots everywhere. And if the procedure is done after 72 hours, your chances of getting an erection after that is 10%.
My goodness. Yeah. So you're better off using something that's regulated.
Exactly. The other problem with men is they want quick fixes. And the first line for erectile dysfunction is not medication, it's not injections, you know, it's lifestyle modification. You have to change your lifestyle. If you're smoking, stop smoking. If you have erectile dysfunction and you stop smoking, 50% of the time your erections will come back without taking anything. Just by stopping smoking. You have to exercise. You have to eat right. If you are obese, you have to lose weight. Because remember, erectile dysfunction, it's a symptom for many other diseases like heart attacks and strokes. A lot of research has shown that men that have erectile dysfunction between the age of 40 and 59, within 2 years or 5 years, they're going to have a heart attack. Because both of them share the same risk factors. So if you have erectile dysfunction within that age group, you have to start with your lifestyle modification before it's too late.
Okay. And carry on, doctor.
If you have erectile dysfunction when you are younger, the majority of the time, if you have not had an accident, you know, trauma, you're not diabetic and all these things, the majority of the time, it's psychological. You know, it's anxiety related, you know, to having sex with your partner for the first time, wondering if you will perform better or not, or it's associated with premature ejaculation. So, you know, it's this trifecta, you're always wondering, am I going to perform? Am I going to perform? So you stress even more, then you don't perform because sex at the end of the day is a mental thing. So if you're not, and then the other thing is the relationship between you and the person you're trying to have sex with. So if there's some commotion within the relationship, there's no way you're going to have normal sex. You know, if you guys are always fighting, there's stressors about finances, the kids, this and that, there's no way you're going to have normal sexual relations.
Sure. If you're just joining us, almost 10 minutes to 8 o'clock, you're still listening to Kaya 959. We are still taking your calls. We're literally into the last couple of minutes of the show, about 13 minutes or so left, but we're still taking your calls on 086-000-959. I know our phone lines have been disappointing us this evening. All the calls have just been dropping because for some reason we're just having such issues with our phone lines. But still, if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask, still try to give us a call and we'll try to put you through as best as we can. And joining us on the line, we've got Dr. Benny Radzuma, who is a urologist. I know a lot of people have been asking for his details. We're going to try to give those out at the end of the show. And we are taking all your questions. If there's any questions that you'd like to ask around male reproduction, whether it's for you, whether it's for your partner, your spouse, or maybe for your kids as well, the number to dial is 086-000-959. Let's take a caller now. Let's try. Hi, good evening, caller, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'd like to remain anonymous.
It's fine.
My husband did a vasectomy about a year ago. So now the urologist told us that there's no way of knowing when the sperm are finished in his sex. So now we're still using protection, which defeats the purpose because, I mean, you know, we did this just so we don't have more kids. We had enough kids.
Yeah.
But now we're still using protection because we are not sure if the sperm sac still has sperm in it. So I just wanted to find out from the doctor, how will we know? Because I feel like it's almost a year now. So
when should we know if we can, and how do we? Okay. Doctor?
Yeah, okay. So after doing a vasectomy, for whatever reason, 30 days after doing the vasectomy, you have to go to a laboratory and do a semen analysis. So a semen analysis is when you give them your ejaculate. They give you the bottle. You can do it at home and then drop off the bottle at the lab, or you can do it at the lab. And then they then examine the ejaculate, and the results will tell you whether they're sperms or not. You can do the test anytime after 30 days. So we generally tell people that that 30 days after you've done the vasectomy, you have to use a condom. You have to use some form of contraception,
mm-hmm.
okay, until we've done the test at 30 days.
So then if it's been a year?
Nurse will tell us. I don't understand why the urologist has not sent them to do a semen analysis.
Mm,
yeah, because they have to do the test after 30 days.
Okay, but at this point, there's probably nothing. And Mary, they'd better check, Mary, I mean, after
there's
1 year.
Nothing, but...
to be on the safe side.
Yes, yes. So one of our biggest lawsuits in urology is also based on that you do a vasectomy on someone and then there's no proper counseling. So mm-hmm. the person thinks I've done a vasectomy, they go on to have sex without a condom,
and then
think someone is pregnant.
Oh my word.
That's the thing. So never assume that everything is fine until you've done the test.
Okay. Anonymous, you got that, Annie?
All right.
All
okay,
right.
I had no idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Still taking your calls, 086-00-00959. Caller, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good, thank you.
I'd love to stay anonymous as well.
It's fine.
Doc.
Yeah, he's listening.
One question. I just heard that you just said over 45, we not perform a good one, we smoke and drink and all that stuff.
Hmm.
Just got divorced, and then not long ago, I just got a girlfriend. And now, my question is, am I going to satisfy her, or, like, I've been doing well with her, but now I'm getting worried when you say, after when I'm a smoker, and then between 40 and 50, then I'm going to have a problem. Your advice to me is what to do then. Should I, like you saying...
stop smoking.
Must I stop smoking?
Start running and go vegan. Let's find out from the doctor. Doctor.
I actually wanted to ask, how old is the partner? How old is the new partner?
Okay. How old is the new partner?
She's 31.
Okay. You must go vegan and stop smoking. let's find out.
The
doctor
is probably way younger. I thought it was probably way younger, and he's obviously going to feel that maybe I won't satisfy her. Look, satisfaction depends on the two partners involved. You know, when it comes to satisfaction for women, it's not generally just about penetration. Most men tend to think about that. It's the longer I go, the better. But women have sex before sex. You know,
yeah.
Generally what happens before you have the intercourse itself,
mm-hmm.
then the foreplay, then the intercourse is like dessert, you know. So I would say concentrate on that. But at 45, I hope he's already testing for prostate cancer
mm-hmm.
because he's over 40. He has to see his urologist annually to do a prostate checkup. And then he's a smoker. I would advise him to stop smoking
mm-hmm.
gradually. He doesn't have to do it overnight. Even if you don't stop, just decrease the amount of cigarettes that you smoke a day. That decreases your risk of cancer, erectile dysfunction, and cardiovascular diseases. So, yes, my answer is a big yes. Stop smoking.
Okay. Okay. Still taking those calls, 086-00-00959. Caller, good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Tutu?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm good, Tutu. And how's the dog?
He's good, thanks.
Speaking here.
Sorry, who?
Anonymous.
Okay, it's fine.
Anonymous.
Yeah, it's fine.
Turning 36 this year. But what my problem is that every time during intercourse, my libido is not that strong. And after that one round, I don't get any erectile anymore. Maybe even the round might last, let's say, 5 minutes to 10. But after that, there's no second or third round.
Okay. Doctor?
Yes. So what happens with men is your sexual function, same with women, goes down with age.
Mm. Okay?
Then, he's 36, so he's about to hit 40. After 40, we know majority of men definitely have some form of erectile dysfunction. So there's something also called the refractory period, okay? So the refractory period is the time between what men call first round, second round. I don't know what these rounds are. I don't know, boxing, you know, but So that's called the refractory period. So the older you get, the longer the time between the two rounds. Whereas when you were younger, in your 20s, you could have an erection now, have sexual intercourse now, have the cum, and then within 15 minutes.
You are up again, yeah.
Exactly. So with age, that slows down to a point that in your 70s, some men experience a refractory period of a month.
A month?
That yes, after getting an erection. So he doesn't have erectile dysfunction. It's just that the refractory period now is a month. You have an erection, you have sexual intercourse, you come, and then the next one then comes after 30 days. And when the erection is there, it works, it's proper. Okay, so your sexual function deteriorates with age, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's just part of the body. And the other thing is stress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Psychological stress from work, from your partner, all these things. These things can cause a decline in sexual function. They can cause what we call hypogonadism. Hypogonadism is a state where your testosterone levels go down. And testosterone is like, you know, the engine for the male body. It gives us the voice, the muscle,
mm-hmm.
you know, the masculinity, the sexual performance and everything. So when you're stressed, when you're depressed, when you're not feeling good about yourself, the testosterone goes down. And then that leads to all these problems that we see men talk about.
Okay. So Anonymous, you happy with that, Anne?
No, I got it.
It's fine. It's just fine, man. It's just 36.
So it's fine?
Yeah, it's fine.
There's no problem there.
No, okay. No problem. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Anonymous. Let's take another caller. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. My name is Lucky.
Mm.
I'm just wondering, I want to ask the doc, particularly for athletes who run ultra miles and your comrades, what is the effect of long run on your manhood, particularly your testicular cancer and other effects? What is the effect of running those miles, particularly once you've passed 50 and so forth?
Okay. Doctor?
Once you've passed what?
50. So he's over 50 and wants to know if you're an ultra marathon runner, does it have an effect?
No, doesn't have any effect. I think the one exercise that we keep debating about is cycling. You know, some studies will come and say cycling causes erectile dysfunction. Some studies will come and say, no, it actually doesn't. And then some will come and say, no, it's not the cycling. It's dependent on the seat that you're using on your bicycle.
Mm.
So they'll say then the seat has to be properly padded, or the pants that you're wearing during cycling have to be properly padded to avoid impinging the dorsal nerves that are on the perineum when you're cycling long distances, but not running. Yeah.
Okay.
I would actually encourage more men after the age of 50 to start running.
Okay. All right, Lucky, you got that, Anne?
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much. Taking another call. Good evening, caller. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hi, yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm good, thanks. Speaking to Anonymous.
Mm.
Yes, I've got a 16-year-old son. He underwent circumcision about a year ago.
Mm.
And he feels like his penis now is always showing on his trouser.
That's what he feels like.
It's always visible ever since he did
the circumcision.
He tries to put it on the side, to put it downwards, to put it everywhere you can think of to try and hide it.
Mm,
And I've actually also noticed that with some bands, it actually shows. And he tries to wear
baggy clothes, yeah.
So that he can
hide it. Mm.
Yeah, so he feels that ever since he did circumcision,
okay,
the problem started.
Let's hear from the doctor. Doctor?
Yeah, how old is the son? She said 16.
16, yes.
Yeah, it's probably not related to the circumcision, but the puberty.
So it's grown.
Because it's around the same age, yes. So now it has grown, he has grown, it has increased in length, and it has increased in the girth, so it's showing a bit more. So it's not the circumcision.
And he could just have a larger penis, is that possible?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Right. When they hit puberty, that's the last stage of the testosterone. So the penis quickly increases in size.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right, Anonymous.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Anonymous. Doctor, I know we are like right at the end of the show, but I'm going to try to squeeze in one last question. Somebody on Twitter saying, I had a problem long ago when I have sexual intercourse. When I ejaculate, I was ejaculating blood, but after I had removed the foreskin, it stopped. Should I worry about this? Will it come back to give me a problem or, you know?
He didn't write his age?
So he doesn't say the age. He just says basically that he gets blood when he used to get blood when he ejaculates until he had circumcision. So maybe we can try to squeeze in that one last caller as well. Sorry, Doctor, I'm talking to my producer, Ernest. I see somebody that's been trying to call for so long. Yes.
Okay. So, well, I don't know the patient's age, but the older the patient, if you get hematospermia, so that's what we call it, hematospermia, is blood in the semen. The first thing we worried about is prostate cancer. Once we rule that out, the majority of the time is benign. So it comes and it goes without us having to do anything. Once the workup is done and we don't find anything, we're happy to let it go. Okay. But if it's over 40, I would say he must see a urologist if it's still actively bleeding. But also, I don't know why the circumcision was done. So if the circumcision was done because he had something called phimosis, which is basically a problem with the foreskin, the blood could have been coming from there when he was ejaculating and not anywhere from the prostate going up. And that's why after they removed the foreskin, the bleeding stopped.
Okay. All right, let's do one more caller. Thank you for joining us, caller. Hi, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, yes, I'm listening.
See, you know, I'm not even speaking Zulu.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
We are in a problem, I'm from Sektai. Shooting a circumcised after circumcision, yeah? You know, I've read something like a penis, like, I don't know what you call it, Ntumba in English. Yeah, so it could have both sides, but they're not the same, they're different. The other side, on the right-hand side, there are like too many bars, hanging in the only one. Then the other side, you see a color, there are not too many, but...
Okay.
So, like, yeah, I have a problem, like, man have a sexual intercourse. Sometimes, my father, a condom, but they don't swell blood, they don't do just the pain.
Pain.
Yeah, if it gets hard, then he condom, he bamba, like a cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Doctor?
I didn't get that. My Zulu is terrible.
Mine too, but I think I understood what he's saying. So he says he got circumcised. Since he's gotten circumcised, he says he's got, I think, moles on his penis. He says they don't really bother him, but when he puts on a condom, when he's erect, then they become painful.
He's got moles. What's the color?
Hold on. What color?
The color, they're dark. But man, 30 parts, they change into white color until they get dry so that they get to the same old skin color, dark.
Okay. Doctor?
It's the same color as the penis skin.
Yeah, and then he says it's very dark, but when he takes a bath, they're lighter, they're like white. And then when he's dry, now they're dark again.
Yes. Now, it would be very difficult for me to actually tell what this is, because it could be genital warts, it could be keloids, it could be literally anything. So it would be very difficult for me to literally advise him on what this could be. So my advice would be you must just seek medical help from a nurse or a general practitioner or a urologist.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but he definitely needs to see someone.
Yeah, he definitely. If they're painful to a point that...
when he wears a condom, he says they're painful.
Yeah, exactly. Then he definitely needs to see someone. That is not something that is common after a circumcision.
Okay. All right. Abudok, you must go see someone.
Thank you so very much for taking my comments.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Doctor, let's just get your details for all those people that have been tweeting and asking where your offices are. Can we get your room numbers, your telephone numbers to make an appointment?
Definitely. Should I give them to you now?
Yes, please, yeah.
My number is 012
797
8050 or 011
yes
951 0417.
Okay, great stuff. Can you repeat that and then we'll ask our producer to also tweet the numbers? Can you say the numbers again?
011 951 0417.
Okay, great stuff. We're going to tweet those numbers as well. And the other number, Doctor?
012
797
yes 8050.
Thank you very much. So we're going to tweet those numbers for all those people that are looking to make an appointment. Thank you so much for joining us, Doctor. We kept you way past the time that we said we would.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And that's it for the show. Literally, we are running late. We are so late. It's you know, we are 5 minutes over our time. But I'm back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Kaya 959. From Yusuf Tumea, it is good night.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.